Take your time, it's all good.
So this is a collection of stories of people who have either lived in the village for a decent chunk of time or have an attachment through work or family or whatever.
Okay.
So first, what's your name? And how long have you either lived or gotten to know Greenwich Village?
Oh God. Michelle Hill. Known the village since I was 9 years old. When I snuck on the train, the number 2 train back then, coming from Flatbush. And for some reason, Michelle thought she was grown at 9. And that's when I started smoking. Didn't start drinking, but I did start smoking. And my babysitter took me down here. That's like the first time I came down to the village. And back then it was just more seedy, more exciting. But yet more tranquil at the same time. Because back then I just knew I was gay. So where else would you want to go? Was to the village. Yeah. Ah, shit. I'm old.
So it felt like a sense of solace. Like you knew that this was a place where you could feel comfortable. Even when you were 9 years old, yeah. You knew that. How did you know that?
Washington Square Park. And a woman named Peaches. See how good this memory is? Because those kind of memories you don't forget. There was an old woman that named Peaches that used to live, not in the park, but live in the village. In Washington Square Park, there used to be a lane that used to be called Women's Lane. Just women, looking for women, hanging down that street. And she sat at the top of the street. And not an attractive woman, but a very personable woman, let's put it that way. And she would just yell out things, and you just knew that you were home, because everything that she was talking about was either being gay, having gay lovers, talking about the gay people walking up and down, just blurted it out. You just knew. Instead of me like walking with my babysitter being scared, it was like walking saying, I want to go sit next to her, let her be my babysitter. So, that's about it.
And did you go sit next to her?
No. I was nine. But you know that feeling, that gut feeling that you got when you grew up? It was there way before then. So I wish I did, but no. It was just like walking down, and then just every time just coming down to the village, just ended up on Washington Square Park and Ladies Lane.
Which one is Ladies Lane?
Okay, where the dog park is. There's 2 dog parks there now, but back then, when you first walk into Washington Square Park, when you're coming up, God dang it, this is why I hate streets, because I'm a landmark person. Washington Hotel used to be there, still there.
Yes, it is still there.
Okay, so
I know which one you're talking about.
The big lane that goes straight up, and then the 2 dog parks on the right-hand side, that entrance. In a manner.
Well, today, it's a nice street for ladies' lane. Oh, it's beautiful.
Now today, a guy sits there with a whole bunch of pigeons in the summertime. The pigeons just come and sit on top of him, right on the edge of that where that lane used to be.
I interviewed him, Pigeon Man.
Pigeon Man, project. Love him.
Yeah.
But the fun thing, when I sit, well, different story. But when you sit there right next to him, he's like, you know you're going to get shit on.
Yeah. He asks you if you're okay with having pigeons crawl all over you.
But you see the people that walk over to him, and then they like freak out when the pigeons come. It's like,
what did you expect?
Sitting next to the pigeon man.
Yeah. Well, they're sitting on his hands, his shoulders, and everything. But people walk up to him and not expect the pigeon to come sit on your head. I'm like, I just sit there and just laugh hysterically. And we just start talking one day. Oh, sorry, different story.
Yeah.
So this day I still go to just sit on the lane, just go through the memories and stuff like that. So
when's the last time you saw Peaches?
Oh, Jesus. 10 years old probably was the last time I saw her. I think she probably passed away, but I haven't seen Peaches in. She used to talk about there used to be a club right up here called Nannies for predominantly black women. On the corner of Leroy. And she used to go, but I don't think she used to go there. But she used to hang out. That's how long this is ago. And it used to be called Nannies. So I did run into her afterwards. I couldn't tell you what age I was. I knew I was still underage. And then I went away to college and I came back, and nannies were still there. And I started working at a place called the Duchess that was down on this side. Yeah. Sorry, getting all the stories together. But last time I saw Peaches, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'll say 12. I'll say 12. Yes. She's still there. Yeah, I'll say 12.
And you still, you'll never forget her.
No, I'll never forget. You'll never, no, Peaches was like purple eyelashes, you know, light-skinned black woman, purple, very, very, a lot of makeup. But not makeup that made you look good, just makeup on. But that purple eye, that purple eyeshadow, oh my god. Yeah, Peaches.
Peaches. Were there any other distinctly Greenwich Village characters that caught your attention when you were younger, before you could really categorize people?
Not really, no. Because it was just more of, as I kept coming down to the village, because it just seemed like every weekend I would just somehow end up down here. And because back then I was taller than everybody else, it was like, okay, I'm getting into places. Boom, boom, boom. But no, Peaches is probably, and then you just meet people as you're walking and going around. But yet again, I was still young, but
yeah,
tall, young but tall.
Where did you live?
Brooklyn.
Okay.
Flatbush.
A lot of stories that I'm getting, they kind of revolve around either this fantasy of what Greenwich Village is, like kids going searching for some music scene that doesn't really exist, and then they find some, or going out and searching for a gay scene and finding that it does exist. Like, was there a time where you connected like a myth or a kind of fantasy of what you expected to find here with like an actual experience? Did you have an experience that felt distinctly magical, like distinctly Greenwich Village? This couldn't happen anyplace else but here.
Yeah, there used to be a restaurant called Tiffany's across the street from 7th Avenue South. But this is years later, after, you know, going up to school in New Hampshire, coming back down years after. Tiffany's. Tiffany's used to be the hangout after the clubs closed. You went there for breakfast. There's a restaurant, Sheridan Square Diner, in Tiffany's. When Sheridan was too crowded, we went over to Tiffany's. But the drag queens were at Tiffany's. Not the drag queens. Drag queens. Drag queens. And, you know, just a performance would start in the middle of the street, 4 a.m. in the morning, and a performance would start right there. And living up in New Hampshire, Maine area, and Boston area for so long, it was just like, yeah, knew you were gay, but you come down here and just see a show just start in the middle, 4 a.m. You got Tina Turner, you got Patti LaBelle, you had Show Bart, you had Cher, beyond belief, you had five Chers. And then, you know, just people. But it's 4 a.m. in the morning. Or 5 o'clock in the morning. No one's going to sleep. Everybody's still up. Everyone's still in a party mode. But no one is drunk. No one's belligerent. No one is crazy. It was just like how everyone wanted to find a music scene. I guess when you were young and gay, you wanted just to find a scene and just click in and
stay there as long as you can.
Oh yeah, stay there as long as you order some eggs. As long as you had some toast. If you had 50 cents, it was toast. If you had like $1.50, it was like toast and coffee. It was just like, then you started scrounging money together. It was just like, because you spent your $5 in the club.
How old were you when you'd go to Tiffany's? And
I started, that's when I came back from school, 20. Mm. And as soon as I came back from school, I started working at the Duchess, which was an old lesbian bar.
When did it close?
When did Duchess close? This is where the problem's gonna come in with the years. Lisa will probably be able to tell you more when the Duchess closed. Even though I worked there, there was Duchess, Nanny's, Henrietta's, and that was like the square there.
The West Village spots.
Yeah.
Every like Henrietta's is one of the last three.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
you're going to hear different stories, but I'm always going to go with the same story. When women get hooked up, they get hooked up. When they get wifey, they get wifey. And when they get wifey, they go...
But hasn't that been happening?
Ever since, yeah.
So then why are these bars like closing in the past 10, 20 years?
Money. Look at the area that this place is in. You know, rent for a place is insane. Completely insane. You know, I'm thankful that Lisa's still alive. I'm thankful that Ginger's is still alive in Brooklyn. I'm thankful that, you know, Cubbyhole is still alive. Rent. Bottom line, but if you get 10 women that come in, if you open a bar for 7 days a week, and out of the 7 days a week, it's like 10 women, 20 women, 10 women, 20 women, Friday night, 50 women, still it's not paying the bills, it's still not paying that keg cost, it's still not paying that glasses, it's still not paying your security, it's still not paying nothing, so. But once you get wifey'd up, boy, shoot. Once you get a girlfriend, you don't think you need to come back to the bars anymore. Once you get a partner, you don't need to come back. It's a shame, Lisa. Lisa is one of those mentors in my head. You know, she's given me so many different opportunities and things, and love that woman to death. Not to say that we are like close bonding friends, no. If Lisa ever needed something that's dealing with the club, she knows she can give me a call. No problem. She has been the lasting person up in this place. You know, she's better than Cubbyhole, because when you go to Cubbyhole, there's mostly men now. It's just like, I'm like, looking at this place. The place is all about this big. I don't know if you've ever been in there, but it's all about this big. I do not know who that is.
There was a lot of guys the one time I went.
But men have always come out. The difference between women's bars and my opinion, women's bars and men's bars, men always came out. No matter, they could be boyfriend up, everything, big. Men always came out.
It's just, it's cozy. Like, I understand not wanting to leave your apartment with your, you know, and, you know, it's, like, I get that, but at the same time, I associate all the gay bars closing with a lot of the other cool Greenwich Village things just disappearing in the gentrification.
I can't blame it on gentrification. That's the one thing I cannot blame it on, you know.
No, price is going up.
Is, I don't blame it on gentrification. Me being as a black woman, I can't blame everything on gentrification, nor can I blame everything on slavery. No. Certain things happen. And in the time that I've been in the lesbian scene or around the lesbians, if I was to blame gentrification for a bar closing, okay, that's rent went up. Is it gentrification, or is it that your bar just wasn't successful? You know, Lisa's been open for 20-something years. What has she done differently than anyone else? Bought the building? Then buy the building. You know, what has she done differently other than changed it up? What has she done differently other than she got the tourist crowd to come in? You know, we used to call it tourist spot. You know, on Friday, say it's tourist night at Lisa's. And Henrietta's had it's tourist night. Because all the tourists know of Henrietta Hudson's. It's about making a name for yourself. Nannies have a name for herself, but predominantly black women. Duchess had a name for herself, but predominantly black women. There's another club called Click Love that I'm actually doing a talk on the 20-something of May at the New York Museum. Click Club was one of those clubs also that changed the face of how women can be women in a sexual manner, but yet it was still a bar, dance hall, everything. But did gentrification take that over? No. They just stopped coming. You know, you can't survive on 100 women. 200 women, 300 women, 400 women, most definitely. And Lisa's just been smart over the years and just staying open through the hard times.
All right. It's a niche that makes it cool to begin with. And because it's a niche, you have to have your people, your flock.
The flock.
Yeah.
And we're not ones to be a flock. We're not ones to continue to go, even though we get wifey'd up. We're not one to do that. Once we find a partner, we gone. Like the wind, we're gone. And then when we come back, when either we break up or get a divorce or we come back and the place is not there, hello?
Then where do you go?
You know, you just, you're like in this world of, where do I go? What do I do? How do I be? That's a problem. Major problem.
And do you think you can find it just having Henrietta's around still? Is that...
I've had meetings in Henrietta's because it's just easier. It's just like, meet up at Hens. Meet at Hens.
Yeah.
Everyone knows where Hens is.
Yeah.
Being gay, let's go to Hens instead of going to Cubbyhole because it's all men up in there. But I can't blame... I can't remember her name to save my life. Cubbyhole woman. Can't remember her name to save my life. Or nor Sheila, who's a part of Ginger's in Brooklyn, opening your doors to men. They're gonna come. They're gonna come. And if I get left out of that crowd, or if any woman gets left out, is it the owner's fault? I can't. Or are you trying to just keep this establishment open? It's a very hard question to answer.
You have a very empathetic perspective.
Yeah. Because I've been on both sides. I've been the customer and I've been, you know, a manager of a bar. So, you know, help run a bar. Both perspectives.
Yeah. Do you see other ways that the city has, well, that this neighborhood has really distinctly changed, that you can articulate that isn't just like it's clean or
yes, well, not that it's clean, it's just it's not gay anymore. I remember when I saw the first pram, which is a baby carriage, English word. The first pram go down 7th Avenue South over there by the Chase Building. It was a baby pram. It was a baby carriage. Woman, her husband, you know, just strolling down the village. I'm looking at this like, huh? I'm so confused. Literally, me, a good friend of mine, Des, and a good friend of mine, Pam, we were actually having lunch over at Riviera's, which was a restaurant over at 7th Avenue South. And when that pram went by, we just looked like, the hell? And then when the Guidos came in from like Long Island and Jersey, I was like, yeah, this is no longer the village. No longer the village. I was like, what are y'all doing? What the? And I think that's when the SOBs opened up. I want to say when SOBs opened up, I will give it, not to blame SOBs, it's a great club and everything, but I think when SOBs opened up, that was a major thing also, because when the Guido stepped out of the cars, I was like, what the? What the heck is? Oh, shit, okay.
In retrospect, can you attribute this change to anything or anyone? Like,
can I say that it's anything or one thing? No, I can say that it's a combination of a lot of things. The village back then was just seedy, but it was a great seedy. It wasn't a hurting seedy. It wasn't, you know, to hurt somebody or to get revenge on anybody or to be mean to anybody. But it was dirty. So someone took it upon themselves to clean it up, and that sucks. You know, you took away that the heart and the essence of something that was. If you were down there, you knew how to be safe. But if you were new to the place, you found the beauty of the village back then. Like, say this woman with the blonde hair outside, and I'm just using her for an example. If you saw her walking down the street, you'd be like, sister, where you at? What you doing? Why you here?
Yeah.
And you just look at her just like, why you here? I think you got off the wrong stop on the train. But we were so
it wasn't drunk. We were just all tipsy and real high on life. But we would start a conversation with this woman. This woman ended up coming into our club. That woman then, well, we all go out to breakfast and you made a friend just by, why are you here? What you doing? Nah, you need to go back to Scarsdale. Because we used to say Scarsdale. You had no idea where Scarsdale was, but we were like, Scarsdale. Yeah. That is fun.
Yeah. The image of just meeting someone and hanging out with them all night and going to...
That was all it was. Just literally finding people getting off on Christopher Street, trying to find a club.
And you would just show them.
And you would just show them. But somebody would show them. Somebody would show them the way. The little kids that used to get off the Christmas tree. Somebody. I'm not saying everybody was good. No. I'm just saying, but someone, you always would hear a story. Someone found me at blah, 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 blah. At Washington Square Park. Someone found me at West Force Basketball. Someone would find me at Christopher Street. Someone found me at Nanny's, but I was right across the street from Nanny's. Someone found you'll hear that, and they just found you.
Just found
me. Yeah, Sandy found me. She was outside smoking a cigarette. My best friend Des, she found me. I was smoking a Marlboro Light. She's like, "You're the first black woman I see with Marlboro Light. Can I have one?" Been friends ever since. And I was outside the Duchess. But you always just found people. And you either made lasting friends forever, or it was just that time in the moment. But you saw them again, and they bought you a beer. Like, you remember you saw me at Tiffany's at Nathan? And y'all start drinking again. That's the fun of it. Like, today is not like that anymore, because you just can't find that innocence. And that's what it is, was innocence. It was just innocence to find people like you. Innocence to be like someone.
To connect. Just an eagerness. And people consider that to be naive now in New York City because, you know, you talk to anyone, you smile at a stranger, you're going to get.
Yeah.
That's how I grew up. I wish it was different. Like, I'm still looking to be found. I think that's something that most kids who grow up here still feel. That kind of... I mean, I know that...
This thing will not make you find. This thing will not make you found. They won't.
I recognize them as a huge part of the issue of the blinding yourself from positive social influence because you have it all. But there's nothing I can do about this.
No, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And it's not to say that you're recording and let's just say I'm pointing at your phones.
Yeah.
Internet. I'm not saying the internet's bad. I'm not saying the phones are bad. I'm not saying anything. But we didn't have these things back then. Literally, we had 50 cents in our shoes. Did you know what the 50 cents is for?
Toast?
No. Well, toast, yes. It's a toast, yes. In your shoe, though. 50 cents in your shoe.
Subway fare?
Got one more guess. Just said the word, too.
Oh, phone. The phone booth. Yeah.
That's how we communicated back then. It's like that phone that was on 7th Avenue South. Shoot, you could have 15 people lined up on that phone. That payphone right there, what? You made every connection right there. 7th Avenue South on that payphone. And but that 50 cents was in your shoe to call someone. If you were in trouble or anything, to call somebody. You kept that 50. No one kept money to a cab. No, we didn't take cab. We got on that train because there was like, you know, 7-10 of us deep going somewhere. You know, there's 10 of us. Don't freak with 10-21 crazy lesbian drag queens on a goddamn train. Yeah, so. But that 50 cents stayed in your shoe. To call. Whether it's to call mom, whether it's to call dad, whether it's to call your best friend, whether it's to call your cousin to come bail you out of jail. But you calling somebody.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had that 50 cents in the shoe.
In the shoe?
In the shoe.
Were there any other necessities for the night out?
A lighter?
lighter.
Because mm-hmm. you never know who needed a light, and that person could have been, you know, the richest person walking down the street. You go, hey, you got a light? Here you are. A pen, a paper, because you never know you got the phone numbers. But you were cool if you, like, pulled that pen and paper out, and you're like, you're right there. That's how I got my first wife. It's just like, at the Click Club. Boom. And she's like, you already have it? Yeah, here you go. I want those numbers. There you go. And just always, that was like the necessities. Pen, paper, the 50 cents. Always knew where your friends were. If you came with 10, you just know where one is. So you never went home alone. Never did that. And that's about it. You know, go home with your clothes on. Sometimes it didn't happen. If you can find pictures of like the pear, Christmas tree pears, back then, that would be like, that would be like, you see how pretty it is right now? No, girl. But try walking the Christmas tree pears when there's no pylons. You have to jump and jump and jump to get to your spot and not fall in the water. And you're drunk too. That was some talent back then. Because, you know, you couldn't go home to mom and dad to make love to someone. And I'm being very nice when I say make love.
Yes, yes, you are.
But you jump those pylons and get towards the end of the pier, which was on that corner, which was the most seediest place in the whole entire world, because every crackhead, every drug addict, everybody was down there. But it was the place to go to make out.
But what if it was really cold?
Yeah, so what you, well, that's what body heat's for. That's why you get closer.
Okay. Wait, what are pylons?
The piers. There's pylons that help. That used to, it was a
you
wooden pier.
It was a wooden pier.
The pylons were the ones that had the most sturdiest boards that came across.
Wait, but so the it wasn't middle just ones, one pier that like jutted out?
Oh no, girl, this was wooden piers. It was wood.
So,
wood.
And you finally would make it to the platform all the way without falling in the water.
You would get good. And as a butch, if you got your girl to that end, you had brownie points. Brownie points. Stupidness back then. But right down there, water. Yeah. It's not as pretty as... No, it was not pretty like that. No.
But it was a place.
It was a place. And it had the best view of the city at night. It was just like so romantic, so beautiful. Best view. So, that's what we did. Christopher Street.
Okay.
It's concrete there now. Oh, Lord.
It's very...
Go for it.
It's very nice. I was going to... I'm focusing a lot on the teenage Greenwich Village experience.
Okay.
So this is between from when you come back from college and from when you first start smoking at 9 years old. That, like, in between, Peaches is gone. Did you come down here for any reason? Or?
I did come down here, but it wasn't... Was I on a mission to find something back then? Maybe. I really can't be honest to say if I was on a mission to find a woman. I was, you know, between those ages, I'm on a mission just to say, ooh, she got pretty shoes. Oh, shit. He big. And those were bears back then. They were huge. Those men were, like, decent. And I'm like, what the damn, bro? And... But since down here was so white, and me being a little black but tall, it was easy to like maneuver in and out. But I was just like, damn. The bears used to like crack me up. They just, you know, because I looked like a teenage boy but tall. So it was more men coming like, oh my God, fuck. Excuse me.
Squeeze me, bro.
Why would they just...
Because they thought I was a little cub.
Oh.
They thought I was a boy more than I was a girl.
And then what would happen when they noticed that?
They were like, oh. Yeah, oh.
And then just keep moving?
Just keep moving. Just keep moving. Oh. But me being that teenage kid that was really more masculine than feminine, it was okay. Sure, take me as a little boy. I'm cool with it. No problem. But women back then were, right. Good. That smile just woke me up. Oh. Is it possible to order from right here? Estella, please. Because it's so far away, and I'm so.
No, I would never make it. Also. I don't know if it's like the mixture of this and something that one of you is wearing, but something smells amazing. Like it's just like incense.
It's definitely not me.
Maybe it's the stress.
Would that be the chai?
Maybe that's what it is.
Because I'm just a cigarette smoker. No, I don't know what chai smells like, girl. Huh? I'm the unhealthy
like
thing.
A spicy.
You want to try it?
Oh yeah, that is really good.
It's worth it. It's like flying now. Okay, can I use the same glass or do you need a new one?
And can I get a glass of that?
Do you want a hot chai or an iced chai?
Dirty
chai. Have a hot one or dirty chai?
Yes, please. Espresso. Can I please get your beer?
What?
I mean, obviously with your...
You are a budding student.
Yes, but
you are
helping
me. And when you make millions and millions of dollars... When you make millions and millions of dollars on your art, the two things you're gonna do is remember.
Give it.
And when you make millions and millions of dollars, remember two things: pay it back. And the one thing that I try to do now that I'm old is pay it back, and then truly pay it forward to sit down with someone like you. That's it. Because there's no way to pay back the memories. There's no way to... You can give to every charity in the world. In my opinion, you can give to every charity in the world. But to sit down and try to get your story out and someone's taking it down, even better, because someone actually heard it. And I think that's why I'm starting to work it more with this organization called SAGE. I love my elderly now.
What's the organization?
Seniors, SAGE.
Senior.
I'm together. 12,600,000. Oh. Money comes and goes. Memories last forever. And someone wrote that a long time ago. But we all will have money one day, and we will all spend money differently, buying a beer or a chai, whatever. No, but. Always just remember an elderly person or someone that's coming up. And you'll be good. But I will always drink beer.
Always?
Always. I'm a diabetic now, so can't drink much of anything else but beer.
When I get whatever sum of money for my art projects or whatever, I'll find you with Estella and some Marlboro Lights.
There it is. That's all it is.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Yeah. So the SAGE program. This is like just something.
No, SAGE is God. I'm gonna be beaten up by somebody in the back of my head. Senior Action Gay SAGE. It's an organization. They're actually having a dance on the 29th, and I cannot remember their names to save my life right now. And that's just giving back to seniors. Why I can't. And when I first saw a SAGE organization, I gotta put that in. Give me 1 second, because I gotta get it right.
No problem.
Seriously, Amnesty for Gay, Lesbians, Elderly. And I remember seeing SAGE on probably my second Pride down here. And I'm like, oh, isn't that the stuff that, you know, you spread around? Make your house good?
You know? Get rid of bad spirits?
Get rid of bad spirits? And we made jokes about it like crazy, but now we old. There you go. That'll be a part of SAGE.
So you're telling, is this what you, when you're giving the talk on the Quick Club and that stuff?
No, that is something different. When I was working at Dutchess, that was from like age 20 to 22, a club called Click Club opened up in the Meatpacking District. Now, when I say Meatpacking District, the reason why it has the name Meatpacking District, because that's what it was. It was a slaughtering house with meat hanging down, blood running through the street, smelled like crap, but we opened a lesbian club down there. And how I like relate people that are younger, there was a movie, Coyote Ugly,
Thank you.
I'm not even going to ask what a clean chai is. Okay. It's like a dirty martini. It's just like, there's a martini, and then it's dirty. Oh, sorry.
That's cool.
Coyote Ugly and Hogs and Heifers was another bar that opened around the corner, a motorcycle bar. And when they opened up, so on this corner, Hogs and Heifers, motorcycles, big, greasy dudes, motorbikes, oh shit, and our lesbian bar around the corner, literally.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, that dynamic was something that only back then would have worked. Now can't work for hell.
Why? What was it about back then?
Well, Click Club was not a sex club. It was a place where you could just be yourself. So if you wanted to be naked, be naked. But you're behind doors. If you wanted to be coupled up in the corner and your wife didn't know about it, if you wanted to come play pool and just chill, be with the DJ, if you wanted to see hot dancers back then on the stage, it was a good dynamic. Hogs and Heifers opened up. They know we got half-naked women, so they wanted to get into the club. So it was either Hogs and Heifers, either one of two places. Hogs and Heifers or Quick Club. So the women on this side and greasy men. I can't even call them greasy men. It was just motorcycle, leather clad. But think about real old fashioned beards, big old Harleys, clashing in the middle, just like, yeah, dude, no, you're not coming in. You're not, no.
So they wouldn't cause trouble. You just.
Oh, most definitely they would cause trouble. You get drunk and you want to see a whole bunch of half naked women.
But that you wouldn't let them in. Like, no. They would not. Okay.
It was always my private party.
All right.
I've always had private parties. You know how many private birthdays I've had? You know how many birthdays I've had? Like, private party, my birthday, no, you can't come in. Private party, my birthday, no, you can't. Private parties, you know how many birthdays I should be like 9 billion years old now.
All for a great cause.
Oh, most definitely. Because we always wanted to just keep women with women. Women safe.
Were you one of the founding members of the Click Club?
No.
Or did you just like show up right at the beginning?
Well, no. Back then it was Julie and Jocelyn. Julie Torrentino, who's a dancer in San Francisco, and Jocelyn, who goes by some weird ass name now, but I can't really tell you. And they started it. And they went scoping around to the different clubs to see who they could hire. And I got nominated. But the Click Club, they're trying to... It just seems like it's one of those places that everyone either knows or heard of. Or they've been, or never been, but they've always heard of it. So, are we going to do it again? We don't know. We doubt it because women aren't that open anymore.
What do you mean women aren't that open anymore?
Women aren't that open anymore. Y'all scared of your own damn shadows. Y'all just scared of your own damn shadows. Y'all scared of your own damn shadows.
I'm not scared of my shadow.
I ain't saying you are. I said y'all. That's plural. Y'all, this age group, millennials, and little young, y'all just scared of... We weren't scared to do things.
Is it because of this?
Yeah. Is it because of this? Is it because of phones, the internet? Is it because of the way that we live now, society? I don't know. I can't put a finger on. I can't distinguish between the freedom that we had back then to... And I can't say because we're older and they're younger. Something flipped the script somewhere. And where that script got flipped, I don't know where the hell that happened. But going to a burlesque show, to going to Click Club, two different things. Going to Cubbyhole and... I'll even put Hogs and Heifers in there, like, two different things. It's like the bars were just more of a staple for you to go to whereas now a bar is just somewhere you go and you may pick your nose and you stand there and you look. No, you used to go pick up have fun, meet up with your peoples.
Sounds way better than just sulking on the phone.
You go to a bar now. To compare it now, everyone, you go to a bar now, everyone's just looking at their phone. Everyone just looks at their phone. I'm like, what is on that thing that is so important? Has my life evolved so much that I need this to regulate it? Hell no. I need to talk to somebody.
I love that. Has my life evolved this much? Yeah, I completely agree, but it's kind of impossible to avoid.
No, it's not impossible. It's not. It really isn't. The only reason my phone is sitting up there is because I literally, and you know what? I gotta take that back. The reason why it's sitting up here is because if you had told me it was across the street from Nanny's, I would have been here. But I had to Google this because I'm like, what the hell? Where the hell is, what street is this?
No, this is a weird street.
Yeah.
And I could.
And I'm like, I could not put my finger. If you were sitting across the street from Manny's, we're allowed to have been here like eons ago.
So where was Nanny's?
Nanny's is up the street. On the next corner, right on 7th Avenue South.
I mean, he responded to me.
Okay, I'm gonna take a picture after this interview for the book. I'm going to Henrietta's after I go home and shower and stuff. Because they have an L Word trivia night.
Oh, that's tonight?
Yes, yes.
Was it there? No, it was back in the. We met the original. The original. And Pam Grier was supposed to show up, and she didn't. We were so mad. So mad. I think I still have those pictures. But this was in a bar called Caddyshack in Brooklyn back in the day.
Yeah.
They came out there, and I think they came to Henrietta's.
I saw Alicia Haley on the street in Brooklyn yesterday.
Nice.
And I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't wanna.
Why?
Cause I didn't
why?
Wanna. Cause she has her own. It's her life, and I can't.
Why?
I was just.
Hi, I love your work. Bye.
I know I should.
See, hi, loved your work. Bye. So one of two things: you either knew it when you were a baby, you either saw her on TV, but you acknowledged her. That could turn into a 90,000 year conversation with this woman because no one recognizes her in the street.
I doubt that's true.
No, it's probably true. You'll be amazed. That's how I met in the Duchess, Queen, well, now Dana. One night, and the Duchess. And to this day, people still tell this story because at Renee's memorial, they were talking about it. Dana Owens. Okay. Back then, the Duchess was up here. The dance floor was here, and downstairs was the bathroom. So you had to go down a couple of steps, narrow passageway, go down. Right? And I was bouncing back then, so I had upstairs and I had to check the bathrooms downstairs. There's this chick sitting on my goddamn floor in my bathroom. I'm like, what the hell? And she's about my size. I'm like, what, you on my floor? Get up. She's like, I really need to sit. You gonna puke? No? Okay. Get up. We end up staying in the bathroom for 3.5 hours. Smoking cigarettes. Not supposed to smoke down there. She's pissing. She's puking. She's smoking. Pissing, puking, smoking.
Yeah.
No routine. But it's Dana Owens. And then everyone was like, you were downstairs with her all this time? I'm like, okay, she's puking on my floor. Had to put her head in the damn toilet. And then we start smoking cigarettes. And then we start talking. What? Not knowing it's Queen Latifah, I'm like, who the hell is Queen Latifah? We end up playing basketball in Washington Square Park. Oh, West 4th Park, I should say. I had no idea who the hell she is. Trust me, a lot of people. And that was like Fleet Week back then. We used to hide people at Fleet Week.
Tell me about Fleet Week. I definitely want it.
In what aspect? When the soldiers, when the lovely people came off the boat, they were so proper and so nice. As soon as they got on Christopher Street, everyone did this like, phew. It was so literally, you could literally, they get off of Christopher Street, they all went phew. Like little roaches. When the lights turn on, the roaches just go. But they all kept wearing their uniforms. because I can't take the uniforms off. I'm like, ah, fuck. We're screwed with this.
I am at a key cafe to collect.
But the thing was, you get off at Christopher Street, as soon as you come upstairs, everyone at this time saw the soldiers. Someone would find where you're going to do what you want to do. Someone would tell them where to go. Because we knew it was Fleet Week. We knew they were gay. When you're down here, you're trying to find somewhere to go. The captains or the brigadian people would come around, the brigade people would come around to try to find them where they're at because you couldn't be out back then. We used to have to hide them in our closets, hide them in our bathrooms. Click Club was amazing because we had a downstairs, literally, we would like throw people like, we ain't got no soldiers up in here. And I think Lisa, like back in the day with Lisa, it was like the bathroom, and that's before she had that back area. So it was like the bathrooms, we just used to hide them all in the bathroom. We ain't got no gay people up here. Not us. Mm-hmm. We all, don't we got no soldiers up in here? No, why would we have the people up in here? No. As soon as they went down the street and around the corner, like, come on now, let's party. I think Lisa put, I want to say Lisa used to put like sheets up against the window.
During
that Fleet Week. I know Click Club, we had a, used to put a big drop cloth in front of the door. So even if they pushed the door open, they still had to see that drawer, that big black cloth in front. So you couldn't see inside the club. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But we used to hide them. Just hide them. We used to throw them in cars. Give me your car keys. Go.
Yeah.
We didn't want them to be in trouble. We didn't, you know, we want you to have a good time. And we used to have, you know, people on the corners. As soon as you saw, I think it was like a brigadier or the security people for the Navy. But you could see the Navy people come like a mile away because it was all dressed white. The white of white, like whiter than this paper. It's just like that uniform was so white. You could spot them 2 blocks away. Oh shit, they're coming. Phew. Just going to gear.
What's the scariest experience you've had in the evening?
Oh.
In this neighborhood?
Just two.
Two?
And one was at Henrietta's with a very good and dear old friend, Tasso. I don't know how this even transpired. We were working outside the door. And I think the woman saw her ex-girlfriend inside and her girlfriend inside, and she just decided to go butt crazy. But she approached Tasso first, and I came from the other side. And then all of a sudden she pulled a knife out, and Tasso grabbed the chair and was defending her off with the chair. But the look in her eye was like, she didn't want to kill us. She didn't want to hurt us. But she was hurting somebody that night. Somebody. She was getting somebody. And that look in her eye, that's probably the scare. Physically, nothing I could say scared me. But the look in someone's eye, when they're out to get to something, that's the scary part. And then at Click Club was the other scariest part. I think they were Czechoslovakian basketball team. See, you gotta laugh at certain things.
Yeah, that's pretty absurd.
None of them spoke English, but they had 8'1" mother. He looked like Herman Munster. Look him up. He looked like Herman Munster. 8 foot. Goddamn. And this boy was drunk because he just came from Hogs and Heifers. And he wanted to come in. And I was like, this ain't gonna happen today, though. This is not happening. We had this little bench outside, like a workman's bench outside. I had to stand up on the workman's bench. Now, I'm, you know, back then, 5'11", much muscular than now. And he wanted to come in. And there was no telling him no. And his basketball team was over there. So it's like, he's here, and he's the big guy, so he's getting in. And his friends are just going to follow. And at the time, I was the only one that was outside. But it just so happened, and this is how our clubs used to work back then. Women were like, Click Club was on this corner, and you had to walk down this way to get to the club.
women saw all these men outside of the club. They saw me standing up there. They turned into when they just came running down there, just like, the group of them, because you met at Christopher Street to walk down. You met at 14th Street on the A train. 14th and 8th.
Yeah.
And you used to walk down to the Click Club. So a lot of people used to meet up there and then walk down to the Click Club. So back then it was a very seedy area. Like I said, blood, used to slaughterhouse, everything. And they just saw they took off down the street. All I saw was just women running down this way. I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. Here we go. But the check of the team was still over there. And big guy was here. So I had him turned around. He didn't see them coming, but his team saw them coming. All of a sudden, they just scattered. They just like cockroaches and like, they were gone. But big boy was still standing there because he really wanted to kick my ass. Because I'm telling him no. He spoke no English. I spoke whatever the hell he was speaking, Russian, Czechoslovakian. But no, he's not getting in. Boom, standing here. All of a sudden, the girls just came from behind. They did not touch him. There was no like physical violence. But when they scattered, he saw them scatter. He took a step back. And at that point in time, my other partner, Pam, came out. So it was just like, okay. But the look in his eye is like, you're drunk and 8 foot. I'm like, dude, this is not happening. And those are probably the two scariest times that I've ever had on the door. And it was just because a want of something that you can't have right now, and I'm stopping you, or Tasso's stopping you, or Pam is stopping you, someone's stopping you to do something. Scary concept.
It's really scary. Now on the other side of that.
Okay.
Now that this neighborhood has, I'm not gonna say gentrified, but now that things are different, that kind of easygoing friendliness is gone. What's something you can do here now that you could not have done in the past that you really appreciate?
That I really appreciate doing that?
Yeah. Nothing. There's nothing about this time.
Nope.
It's better than.
No.
Really?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, that makes me feel kind of sad.
No. This is not the neighborhood. This is not, and things change. Yes. But do I feel comfortable down here? No. Why would I feel comfortable down here? There's no more getting off at Christopher Street and just being, I'm at home. You know, that sigh of relief, I'm at home. There's nothing here at all that reminds me. When I opened the door of Henrietta's, yeah. When I opened the door of Cubbyhole, sometimes. But no, nothing. Nothing in this neighborhood, nothing remotely looks or feels like a home.
Like that gut feeling that you got when you were 9.
Yeah.
That's gone.
That's all gone.
Have you been able to find that somewhere else?
I think San Francisco is probably the closest place, but my best friend lives out in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So when we get together, we're just like two peas in a pod and one big old gay faggot of a guy. But when you look at him, he's the all-American boy. You know, he got the blonde hair and the blue eyes. And everyone looks at him, he's like, the all-American guy. And then he puts this big black woman next to him. And I'm like, see? This is where this shit gets turned up. See? And we laugh about it all the time. And that's the diversity that back then was the best thing about it. It's like, you could meet everyone and anyone down here. From someone tattooed from head to toe to someone that's so very clean cut. And you just put you two together and you just had a good time somewhere down here. Sheridan Square, Tiffany's, Washington Square Park, Dutch's, Nanny's. You just had a good time. And too many prams, too many baby carriages, too many kids, too many stores, too many of all that nonsense.
You can't just be.
No.
I think a decent analogy to this neighborhood is actually the Clip Club. Like, it's not a burlesque show, it's just a place where you can be.
Just be.
And, like, be comfortable, be with your people, but at the same time be out of what you know to be normal, comfortable.
Yeah. You know, we used to drive Jaguars back then. Rolls Royces. And you wonder why, right?
Yeah.
Because people used to drive up from everywhere. So, same like Henrietta's. But... But Henrietta's, it was just more, it was Henrietta's, that was the lesbian bar. And, but Click Club was the dirty, seedy backs, you know, you did everything up in the Big Packing District, everything. And, there used to be a fetish club, which I can't remember the name, of, you know, over the avenue. They used to have, like, a big old wheel, you gotta touch the wheel, you spun it. And how many lashes you got? That's how many lashes you want.
Wow.
So that was the clubs. It's like, you know, West Village, East Village, there's so many clubs that used to just be a part of you, of how you wanted to be. And Click Club was one of those places where you can be wherever. So we used to have Housewives and Jaguars, Rolls Royces. And we're like, yo, man, we driving a Rolls.
Are you from Scarsdale?
Scarsdale.
And were they women
Jersey,
from
Jersey, Staten Island, upper Manhattan. You know, we had drivers outside. I'm like, dude, you can't park here. No, take that. No, you should like literally send cars. Like, you can't park here, dude. How can I have a freaking Rolls Royce in front of my damn place? Get the piece of curse.
Really?
Yeah. You know, between cars, like upscale cars, and the cops, I'm like, no, dude, no, you can't park it. Go around the corner, go somewhere else. Go, I don't care where the hell you go. You can't park. You can't tell me what to do. You want your four tires? If you want your four tires, you're going to do what I'm going to tell you right now. Get the frig out of here. But you have to remember, back then it was... Meatpacking District was dirty or seedy. There was none of those buildings. Don't even. There was nothing down there that looks anything familiar to what it was. But it was like, you park here or you park by the water. I don't care where you go. You drive around here every hour if you have to. I will keep your person here, but you're giving me $50. Look. What we doing right now, but you're not parking here.
Because it would draw too much attention.
Draw too much attention. The cops will come. Drawing too much attention. Jaguars.
What would happen when the cops would come, if the cops came?
We would have to do a quick change. And what a quick change was, like, the beauty, the one thing that working at Henrietta's and Click Club was, Lisa made a rapport with the Sixth Precinct, which I love, you know.
Yeah.
She made the biggest rapport with them. And so our job was much, my job was much easier over at Henrietta's. But when you're over on this side of the, no. Cops are just as dirty as a grown-ass man. All they want to do is come in and see. But we would never get that rapport because Click Club wasn't bad, but it was sexual. Click Club wasn't bad, it was just that you could be who you wanted to be and take off your clothes. Click Club wasn't bad, but yeah, we had tits out. Click Club wasn't bad, yeah, we made love in the bathrooms. Click Club, why am I saying make love? We fucked in the bathrooms. But between that comparison and the Terminators, cops wanted to see what was going inside. So literally, quick change, boy. Dancers were behind the bars, best was on, boom. Literally, in 15 seconds, we could quick change a bar, boy. 15 seconds. 15 seconds.
Just quick change, quick change. You heard the knock and it was...
Heard the knock. I was outside, my partner Pam was standing right there, but she was never standing there. Because, you know, there's some cute girl on that side of the damn bar.
I was going to say, it's probably so hard to be a bouncer
hard.
At these places.
So hard.
How did you keep
so
your
hard.
Cool?
I didn't, girl. That's my problem. I didn't.
I'm not trying to be no angel. What I am trying to be, the one thing my job was, and I'm still to this day, I will protect a woman with my life no matter what. With my life, I will protect a woman.
So that's what kept you standing there.
I will protect women no matter what. Nothing will ever come to harm a woman in my barn. Never. And I swore on that. I was diehard on that. But when the cops came, quick change. Everybody went downstairs. They went up that way. They went up behind the bars. We had like 15 bartenders behind the bar one time. I'm looking at the cop. Julie's looking at the cop. Yes, sir. No, sir. And back then, you could drink outside and do everything. So I'm like, sober. No, I'm not. But hey, how are you? Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
Sir. And then they want to do a tour inside and everything. Pool table full of whatever. Oh my God, Jesus. Quick change. Everyone
pool
had a job.
Pool table full of.
Yeah. Yeah. Come 3:30, that pool table was full of things that should not have been full of. But... And then we closed at 4, and then at 5, we like had an after hour party, and it was just like, oh Jesus, we starting all over again.
So did you sleep during?
No.
Ever?
No.
Didn't sleep.
Break night. It used to be a thing called break night. Back then, we all had day jobs because we had to have health insurance. I used to work at the Bank of Saudi Arabia. Huh, girl? I was some talented motherfucker back then. The Bank of Saudi Arabia at the Bear Stearns building. And my nights used to start from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Break night. You just went from the day job, ran to your closest friend house, shit, shower, and shave, got back. If you could sleep, you tried to find friends that were close. If you could sleep for like an hour, boom, you're at the job at 7. You went till 4 o'clock. You try to get home as quick as possible. But sometimes that didn't happen, so you broke night. Start the whole thing over. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, broke night every other week. You broke night. That was it. Because somebody's party was happening. Somebody's after hours was happening. It was... You broke night. It was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds fantastic.
It was... If I... You know, if we were smart... Like, it was like... I hate using that movie, but Back to the Future. If I could go back to my 21-year self, I would have bought the building across the street from Click Club that we used to go and hang out with a candle and sit there and talk to stupid women. I would have bought the little property that was in front of Christopher Street that's now like a cafe where Ginger's is. I would have bought across the street and built a nice hotel there because Fifth Avenue is crazy. Where Cubby Hole is, I would have bought that building and just the building next to it. But what if, it's not a what if situation. It's like, I have my memories and I had a good time with my memories. And I know people, as you continue to talk to people, it's gonna come to this similarity, kind of familiar, yeah, okay.
I'm trying to paint the picture as best I can.
And you will.
Kind of out of jealousy, like fear of missing out, but...
But you guys can make your own time. The only thing is, my thing is this thing. Is the phone, is the internet. For me, millennials are the worst because they just lost an aspect of respect. Like, this is how bad this is. Lisa is a little bit older than I am. I'm 52. Lisa's a little bit older than I am. And I would never cross Lisa. Like, if Lisa was walking up the street, I would hold the door open for Lisa and let her go in the corner. If Lisa was getting out of her car and I saw her, I would literally go over to the car. And I'm just using Lisa as an example, but yes, it's true. Open the car door and it's like, what's up, girl? How you doing? Where you going? How you doing? You got some groceries for you? Because that's just how I was raised. That's how Renee raised me. That's how Marianne raised me. That's how Bobby Ann raised me. All these people raised us to be something better than them, but yet we are, not financially, but morally, loyalty, and the ability to just be. Like, when Stormy was passing away, or when Stormy, when Lisa took over for Stormy, wow. When Lisa called me up to help her with Stormy, wow. That's all the things that was instilled in me to help Lisa do that for Stormy, I was there. Let's do this. What we doing? How we doing it? Let's do it. Now, there was no ifs, ands, or... There was not even a question. There's no, oh, I gotta check my schedule. Oh, no, no. None of that. You just go. You just do. And whether I'm a dying breed in that, cool.
I think we're not that cold. Maybe I shouldn't speak on behalf of all millennials, but...
He just picked up food. Millennial part two. He just picked up food. He called his name. Dante, you gave your name to a total stranger. Did that man even say thank you to him? No. And it's just as simple as that. You give a total stranger your name to pick up food and coffee. But you can't turn around and say thank you. And that's how simple it is.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But you're busy looking on your phone because you need to get somewhere. You don't know where your house is because you're looking at your phone. You just ordered food, so you're going home. So why are you on your phone? Enjoy your day. Enjoy walking from this place that you just picked up food from. Because I know you're not going to go eat it out on the street. So you must be going to some destination that you know. So why are you on your phone? What time is it? 5 o'clock. Love you dearly, but we can do this again if you want. But I have to meet a friend up on 76th Street.
Wow. No, I got some excellent stories for you. Thank you. Thank you. I hopefully we'll see you just around. Maybe now.
It depends. Leaving now. Give me 1 second.